service today. We commit it to you. We commit our ways to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a few minutes, Ashley is going to be bringing our message today. But before that, it is my great privilege to introduce what I would call now a good friend. May I say that? A good friend, Vojta Prkna. Easy for me to say. Not so easy for you. It's not so easy for me to say. But Vojta, why don't you come on up? And I'm going to give you the floor here in just a minute. But before I do, let me give a warning to all young ladies who go to the Czech Republic to serve the Lord. You just might fall in love with a handsome young Czech man and find yourself, your life really changed. And that's what happened in Stacy's life. Stacy just kind of gave away from the back. She's in the back with the baby. Hopefully you can have an opportunity to say hi to her and meet her after the service. We wanted to give Vojta an opportunity to talk a little bit this morning about his ministry. You'll notice that on your row of chairs is a small, very small little card. And I just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider the prospect of being involved in supporting Stacy and Vojta in their ministry, serving the Lord, preaching the gospel in the Czech Republic, and making disciples there. If you would are willing to prayerfully consider that, if you would just put your contact information there, they will follow that up. It's not a commitment that you will be involved financially, just that you would prayerfully consider that. And Joan and I have already begun as we, before we fell asleep last night, we prayed and asked the Lord to lead us as to what our part is. And then just one last thought before I give the mic over to Vojta. Czech Republic, as you know, Vojta, and a number of people know, has a special place in my heart. As you know, we were missionaries in Poland for 10 years, although my intention was somehow to end up in the Czech Republic. That didn't happen. And yet the Lord has allowed me to have a connection in several ways, not just through Susanna, but through Vojta and others. And it's a big thrill and privilege to know that the gospel is going out in that very atheistic country. So it's a privilege for us to encourage and support people who are workers. We first met Vojta when James and Becca are here this morning, so say hi. James and Becca went with Joan and me to the Czech Republic back in the spring of 2015. That's where we first met Vojta. He was a new convert. He is the fruit of the result of American workers who were supported from people in the U.S. who went to preach the gospel. So he's the fruit of what we're asking you to consider. And I don't want to take up too much of his time, so I will stop talking. Other than to say one last thing about the financial aspect of things. As elders, as pastors, we're tasked with ruling, sort of managing the church. We're shepherding, but there's also a management component. And as it is with your own personal finances, it's easy to look at the church finances and think, we have this pie, and how are we going to cut the pie? And it's the pie only goes so far. Well, if you've been walking with the Lord very long, you know that the pie, you cut out a piece and you give it to the Lord, and the pie grows sometimes. And so I just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider, we know that there are scores and scores of wonderful ministries to give to. So why would we ask you to consider giving to this ministry? Only because sometimes the Spirit prompts you to give to ministry A, sometimes to ministry B. We're only asking you to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I have a role here? And just to prayerfully consider that and just do what God is telling you to do. That's all we're asking you to consider. So without further ado, sorry, I lied. Two more things I wanted to say. As you know, we are considering encouraging you all to commit yourself to memorizing Scripture. What a great value that is, so that you can meditate on His Word and it can change your life. So I asked Vojta if he would do our Scripture recitation for us this morning before he gives his presentation. And so he's going to do it first in Czech language, and then he'll share the verse in English and go on from there. So Vojta, please.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone. It's an absolute privilege to be here. And it's great to be able to participate in the service beside our sharing. So I would like to share a verse that has been really meaningful to me, and it's Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to read it to you in Czech, so you get to hear the Czech language, and then I'll tell you what it means to me. Ephesians 2:10. Jsme přece jeho dílo. Bůh nás v Kristu Ježíši stvořil k dobrým skutkům, které předem připravil, abychom se jim věnovali. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And maybe the word that stands out the most to me is beforehand. We are here now for 3 months as a new missionary couple, raising support and reconnecting with people and trying to make new connections. And our country is in a heavy, heavy lockdown, and things are not getting better. So we don't know what will come to. And ministry is about serving people and meeting with people. And we don't know what opportunities there will be. And we can tell you about some of our hopes and passions. I have a passion for prison ministry. God gave me that passion, but the last time I went to prison with a team was in February, a year ago, and we haven't been able to do that since. And this verse gives me confidence and comfort that God beforehand prepared good works for us to walk in. He prepared for each one of us good works for 2021 to walk in. So if we could do next slide, let's read this together. And there are two more after that, and we will just read through it, and some words will be disappearing. So, and that will hopefully help us remember that verse. So let's read this together. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, two more times. Next slide, please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And last one. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you. Thank you. Now we have a 5-minute video that is packed and communicates more than we can share and say with words. So we're going to share this video with us.
Since 2011, September. So my name is Stacy, and I'm sitting here for Kimba, and I am the regional representative for
Sorry about the audio, folks at home. Go ahead.
Thanks. A little bit shorter than he is. It's great to be here. As the video said, my name is Stacy. I've been in Prague since September 2011. And when I went as a single missionary, I never fully expected that almost 10 years later, I would then be married with a small child. But God has unique ways of working. And I mentioned in the video that I worked with a group of moms. I taught English to moms once a week for many years. And it was so amazing to me how I could share with them something that was natural for me, my native English speaking. And this last year, when I was able to come to them and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to have a baby. They were so excited, because then they were saying, now we can give back to you. we can give you our advice and our thoughts on which hospital is better or which whatever. And that to me was just a beautiful picture of almost the completion of the thing that God had started. I'm excited to go back to continue working with these women to. It will look different because we don't know what it will look like, but I know that I will connect with these women. I know that I will have relationship, even if it's meeting in the park, you know. So I'm excited about the things that God has in store for us, and I'm excited for the ways that He will use our daughter Vicky for the furthering of His kingdom to open doors for us. Yeah, is there anything else you want to share?
For those of you who are watching from home, I don't know where the camera is, somewhere here.
I don't know, but it's right there.
There it is. We have no way of getting a hold of you, but you have a way of getting a hold of us. This is our contact information page. There's our phone number and a email address. So please, if this resonates with you at all, please get a hold of us, and we would love to connect with you. On top is our giving page, or you can scan the QR code with your phone that will take you there. And we serve with EMM, which stands for Eastern Mennonite Mission. Any Mennonites here?
Yes, I can't raise my hand.
Just one. And the setup with each missionary or missionary couple with EMM is that they are required to have an MST, missionary support team, which is a group of people stateside who help and walk with the missionaries. And we have an MST leader with us here today, who is James Carr, and he's going to say a few words at the end. Thank you very much for your attention, and it's been great to be here.
So most of you know me, James Carr, and like Jack said, I met Voita on that first trip in 2015, and we're here, like you said, Becca and I, we are the leaders of this MST group, and often we feel unqualified and really not being able to perform like we think we should, but we are passionately for Voita and Stacy and their mission in the Czech Republic. And I thank Jack and Joan for birthing that in us in 2015. But they are under a shortfall right now in their giving. So they're in a deficit because of the COVID last year. A lot of their supporters fell off. They used to have a lot of year-end support that kind of fell off. And so we're looking for partners, people that say, you know, look, for this next year and a half, it is a year and a half left in this term. For this next year and a half, you know, we can give, we can help make up the shortfall. And there's no gift too small, but there's you can give on that page a reoccurring monthly gift. And that's what we're really looking for. And if you can't give it financially, we covet your prayers for the MST team. And especially for them, stateside, or in the Czech Republic. So, prayer is important. So however you can give, however you can connect, if you can fill out those cards and give it to, we will be in the foyer there at the end of the service. Please feel free to come up, ask questions, connect with them, pray with them, encourage them. And I hope to see you then. Oh yeah, we have prayer cards and pictures that you can come and get, and just as a reminder, put it on your fridge to pray regularly for them. And I wanted to mention too that they're currently at about 45% of their what they need as a family. So, and they have a new baby, and she's precious, and we just believe that God's gonna work a miracle in this, and is gonna provide. I mean, He always has provided for them. So thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see what God is doing around the world, especially our special connection with Czech Republic. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, my favorite book. Well, they're all my favorites. So it's hard to pick just one. So this morning, we're going to get started in a new series. As soon as I get my slides up here and start sharing them out for everyone. Okay, so at the big Zoom a few weeks ago, we announced our new theme of community of truth. All right, got it. So community of truth, that's where we're headed this year on this journey together. And this is an active response to the schemes of Satan. That seems like an interesting subtitle. But as I shared a couple weeks ago on Sunday night, as pastors and elders, we have a view of the congregation, and we watch Satan use the same plays over and over, and he continues to win with those plays against us and our families. And we want to expose those schemes of Satan. Our verse here on the banner up front. There it goes. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. When we know how Satan works, then we can have victory in our lives. And that's what we are after this year, is experiencing victory in our lives over the things that have held us captive for too long. Also, as you're going through your scripture memory verse rings, these are the first and second verses there, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts would be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And there's this word cunning is not in our everyday vocabulary. What does that mean? We can see that Paul here is saying, hey, look, Satan did this thing with Eve. Don't you get tricked the same way. The word cunning, I looked this up, Google search like everybody else would. We don't have paper dictionaries around the house anymore. It said cunning means skill in achieving one's end by deceit. So he has an agenda, and he's going to use deception to achieve that agenda. And we are the people that are targets for that deception. And there's all these synonyms here, guile, craftiness, deftness, ruses, wiles, stratagems, schemes, ploys. These are the things that Satan uses against us. And notice the antonym here. The word that means the opposite of cunning is naivety. When we are naive, without that knowledge of good and evil, as a young child, that's the perfect place where God created Adam and Eve. And so we're going to turn to Genesis 3 here and look at it. But notice this word cunning. So Paul says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, his objective to deceive her to achieve his ends, not God's, I'm afraid that your thoughts would be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to walk through this passage and look for these schemes of Satan that we want to be aware of. Look at that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent was one to deceive. He was Satan, as we read later in Revelation. It talks about that ancient serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan, and equivocates all of those things. So we know this is Satan speaking to Eve here. He is cunning. He's deceptive. And he said to the woman, has God really said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The first thing he does is introduces doubt. And it's okay for us to have doubts. And we need to prove our faith. But here we see that Satan is introducing that seed. Can you trust God? And the woman said to the serpent, what did she do? She repeated back what God had told Adam. From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Now, one little point here that some people point out is that God didn't tell Adam anything about not touching the tree. But as Adam transmitted this to Eve, he said, look, don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't do anything with it, right? So Adam was very emphatic as he explained this to his wife. This is what God told me. And so she does what we're supposed to do. When Satan comes to us, we reply with the truth, not the lie that he's given us. But then notice it says he pressed in again. And the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. So not only did he call into question what God had said, now he is exactly stating the opposite of what God said. He is a deceiver from the beginning. That's what he does, Jesus told us. For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. I find it interesting that he's telling the individuals who were created in the image of God that there was something else that they could do to become like God. Certainly you will not die. It's an outright lie. He is deceiving Adam and Eve, Eve particularly here. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, sin doesn't go straight to the action sometimes. Satan plants a thought in our mind and we entertain that thought before it becomes action. And here's she's looking at this tree and says, you know, you've got a point. That's a snazzy looking tree. Look at that fruit. It looks amazing. Why would God keep that for himself? Why would he not want us to have that? I think I want some too. So she took some of its fruit and ate. And that was the sin. The deception here planted a seed, countermanded God's word, and resulted in sin. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that Adam has been standing here the whole time? He is clearly complicit in this sin as well. He knew better as well. Why was he not defending his wife and stepping in? And then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They saw the result of their sin. And then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves waist coverings. What's the first thing you do when you're caught in sin? You try to cover it. They were here trying to cover their sin in their own abilities. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This is not a friendly game of hide and seek. Notice the progression of what Satan has done here. He told them a lie. They believed that lie. They participated. They sinned. And now what is the result of that? Satan has broken their trust. Now they're hiding from God, the one that they walk with in the garden, the one that they love and trust. They can no longer trust. Why? Because they have sinned and they don't know what's coming next. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I love how Jack makes the point that God doesn't ask questions for his information. He wants us to understand. And on your little scripture memory cards at home, that card is labeled truth when it says God asked him, where are you? We have to identify and understand what is the reality of our situation. And Adam, he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. Naked and afraid. That's exactly where Satan wants us. naked, exposed, afraid. Because once we're there, we have broken fellowship with other believers. We've broken fellowship with the Lord. And he wants us there hiding. And he, God, said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Again, asking questions for their information, not God's. And the man said, he threw his wife under the bus. "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me some of the tree and I ate." That doesn't cut it. You cannot blame other people for your sin. And so the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Naivety was lost. The deception had been fulfilled. This is exactly what Satan was after. He was to break the fellowship that Adam and Eve had, this precious relationship with God, their creator and father, whom they enjoyed. And now it is completely spun around and flipped. They are hiding and afraid of the loving Heavenly Father who created them. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. This is how his schemes work. And when we find ourselves in that place, we need to ask ourselves, how did I get here? So we're starting off in chapter 3, but that's not the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story was good and perfect and whole. God had provided for them more than they would ever need right there in the garden. They were partners with God, stewards of his creation. Now God set up an authority structure and he said, "You have a choice, and I'm asking you not to choose to eat from this tree." God established himself as the authority, and so much of sin is opposition of authority, not recognizing God's authority. They were walking together. This was the perfect origin. It truly was a community of truth between Adam and Eve and God until Satan entered into the picture. And what Paul said about the cunning and afraid, that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's what we see here. And this is an epic battle spanning all time and all creation. And Revelation tells us that Satan was thrown down to the earth and he knew his time was short. And so he's going to make as much trouble for God as he can. And that means messing with our lives. Messing with the lives of the people that we know and love. And our journey this year as a community of truth is to identify what are the ways that he does that. So here is Satan's plan as it unfolds. Now, Satan has many schemes. He can be very creative. But you'd think he would be more creative, but he keeps going back to the same plays over and over because they work every time. And he runs those same plays. What does that play look like? It looks like this. He tells us a lie. He introduces doubt. He gets us to break relationship with God. Did God really say that? Did you read that right? Sin. Sin is the fruit of that. We believe a lie. We act on that. That becomes sin. They ate. Fear then ensues. Now they realize they're naked and they're afraid of God. That then turns into isolation. So many times as people in their lives get involved in sin, you notice that they withdraw from others. And then finally, in that place, naked, afraid, isolated, that's when the negative consequences unfold. Whatever that looks like, fear, anxiety, depression, physical and spiritual death. That is exactly where Satan wants us. We're in a global pandemic of isolation and fear. Think about the narrative in our culture today is that we should stay at home and be afraid. and not be together with other people. This is not just an American thing. This is a global pandemic. The riots in the streets that we've seen in America this year are not unique to us. There are people around the world pushing back against that. Now, I want to balance this as well. I am aware that we do have a potentially deadly virus that is in our midst, the unseen enemy. I agree. People are losing their lives. We should take that seriously. However, now on a truly global scale, Satan has the world media repeating his message to be afraid at home alone. That's where Satan wants us. So if that's his normal pattern, and now we see culture layering on top of that same message that we're receiving every day, how much more do we need to be on our guard against being isolated from one another? And that's why we're talking about a community of truth. So this week I had an appointment with a psychologist. I've had a couple meetings lately with a counselor, and he told me that the young people coming into his practice who are having anxiety, he said it's not because they're afraid. He said it's because they're watching their parents panic, and they're seeing the anxiety of their parents, and that is transferring to the children who come into his office to receive counseling for anxiety, because their parents are freaking out. And this is a secular psychologist telling me this. And it just emphasizes all the more in our homes why we need to be a community of truth in our home, sharing God's word, his truth, to combat the lies that the world and Satan would give us. So what is our response? Our theme this year is community of truth, an active response to the schemes of Satan. So how do we respond to what Satan does? Number one, our lies. Satan is going to lead with lies. And what do we do? Just like Luke chapter 4, when Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus responded with scripture. That's why this year we've kind of got a head start. For the last several months, we've been having people recite scripture on Sunday mornings. We've done that intentionally to model a lifestyle of planting God's truth and word in our hearts, so that when Satan comes to tempt us, when he brings a lie to us, we can recognize it because we have the truth in our heart. And that is why we are doing that. Next week, Jack is going to talk about scripture memory. And then the following weeks, Phil is going to and Jack are going to talk about these topics here. And we're going to continue to talk about this all year. So Satan leads with lies. We respond with truth. When you obey a lie, that is sin or disobedience. When you obey the truth, that is obedience. Each one of these will bear fruit in our lives if we obey a lie or if we obey truth. If we obey lies in sin, then that introduces fear to our lives. But if we are obedient to God's truth that he has given us, that grows our faith, because then we see it work and we believe. So faith is believing the truth. Fear is believing a lie. So what happens then? We believe a lie, we sin, which leads to fear. Isolation is our response to that. But in the body of Christ, no, that should not be our way. We should not be afraid if we have sin in our lives to come and confess our sins to one another, like Scripture says, and where we can be prayed for one another and we can be healed. So a community is how we also combat the schemes of Satan. Satan wants us to be alone and afraid. But if we are together, we will encourage one another and strengthen one another. So we fight back against Satan. We take the offense against Satan by doing that together as a community. Ultimately, in Satan's plan, it ends with a big, ugly box of negative consequences, things that he wants to wreck our lives with. And we've all been there. We've all seen it. We've all seen what happens in our lives when we believe a lie and when Satan wins. But on the other side of this, when we believe the truth, we respond in faith, we obey, we're together with other believers, there's a freedom there. Now, Satan would tell you that if you submit yourselves to the lives of others, you're going to lose your freedom. It's exactly the opposite. The truth will set us free. The truth is where we need to share the truth together as a community. And so I remember thinking, all right, community of truth, that sounds really vague, nondescript for it. It sounds like just a Christian phrase, community of truth. It sounds kind of generic. But when you look at it in this context, the community of truth is our active response to the schemes of Satan. It's how we win. It's how we push back the darkness in our lives, our families, our communities. This is how we win against Satan as a community of truth. And we're able to experience the freedom that way together. So this banner that we have on the platform, those of you who are at home, when we delivered those packets, you have one of these pictures of this banner, this community of truth theme for the year. You can use that as a bookmark. And I just want to cover real quick some of the different lies that are listed on this banner. They're kind of small print, maybe hard to read. See if any of these lies resonate with you. I'm afraid. I am safer alone. I don't fit in. I can't trust God. I am unlovable. I don't need God. I've got this. I am protected behind my secret. I should not speak out on God's word. I have the right to be angry. If people knew what I've done, they would reject me. And finally, the internet has all the wisdom I need. Think about it. And we're going to talk about this as the year goes by. I'm not a millennial, but I grew up with computers my whole life, and I work with computers all day long, and the internet has brought many good things. But one of the things that the internet has done in many ways, and I want to say this carefully, I know there can be experiences of genuine community on the internet, but social media has wrecked our sense of community. It has wrecked our vulnerability with one another and our honesty with one another. And the internet does not have all the answers that I need. And I'm going to say this multiple times this year, but if there's some piece of information that you need to know, how much better would it be to call someone in this community of faith here who might have the answer? It's going to be slower. They may not have the answer that you need, but they will help you get to that answer. And then maybe together you both go to Google and find it. But this, our instant response is I whip out, anytime I have a question, a statistic, a piece of trivia, the first thing I do is I whip out my phone and I go do a search to find what's the answer to that. And we default to individual, isolated experiences via social media and the internet. Now, you guys know that I work in technology, all right? I'm not bashing a lifestyle where we are in an electronic age. Don't hear me say that, okay? But I want you to use caution that you're not led astray from a disingenuous experience. Satan would rather have us find all of our answers somewhere else than among these people that God has given us to share life with. So what are some ways that we respond in truth then? Jesus meets my needs. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus told them, he said, the Gentiles, they go look for all these things, food and shelter and money, and they try to provide for themselves. Don't you know that God's going to take care of you? That's a fundamental lie, is that God will not take care of me. I cannot trust him. But Jesus will meet my needs. He promised. Perfect love casts out fear. As we talk this year about how do I come out of those lies when I see them in my life, the biggest answer to that is having a true understanding of who God is, His love. We can trust Him. And when we truly understand how much God loves us and that we can trust Him, there's a freedom there like nothing else. I am not alone. God loves us. We rejoice in hope. We're going to be exploring the truth of God's word as we go along this year. And we're going to find that this truth is a direct response to the schemes of Satan in our lives. One other point of clarification. This is not the castle of truth, the bastion, the fortress of truth. No, this is a community of truth. What do I mean by that? We don't take the truth and beat people up with it. Truth and grace go hand in hand. So yes, while we may have truth that people in our lives need that are lost in darkness, we don't beat them up with the truth. We lead with love. That's how God leads with us, is with love. We lead with love, and there will be doors opening to share the truth. But we want to be careful how we wield the truth. It is a weapon. We want to be very careful how we use it, that we use it against our enemy and not against the people in our lives who are trapped by the enemy. Yes, we will share the truth with them, and it will set them free. But we want to share it with grace and kindness. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his scheme. 2 Corinthians 2:11. So I sat at the dinner table with my family Friday night reading this verse that is on our scripture cards. Some of you who are new here, we distributed little rings of memory verses for the year. And I told my family, I feel like I've been taken advantage of by Satan this week. I feel like I've defeated, depressed, anxious, fearful. And of course, I should kind of expect an attack from our enemy when I'm going to be talking about his plans on Sunday morning, right? But I say that to be transparent, to say none of us are exempt from Satan's schemes. And if you are isolated and afraid, you're exactly where he wants you, and he probably doesn't have much left to do with you. He's going to go after somebody else who is in the community of truth, in the circle of love. Part of our vision for the church, an ever-increasing circle of love, where there's always room for one more, right? This place where we're safe and secure. And I had to confront inside my own self, what are the lies that I'm believing? And this counselor that I was talking to this last week, he said, when you feel anxious, look at what's under the covers of that. And so I would stop at a moment and think, okay, why am I anxious? And for me, I have a lot of anxiety around two areas that have been pretty consistent in my life. Number one would be guilt. I never believe I've done enough. I've not, it all comes down to doing. I've not done enough. Name any area of life. I simply have not done enough. And that's why I sang about grace this morning, because grace means we can't do enough. It's free, right? That's the truth. The other area where I have anxiety and fear in my life is time pressure. I am a busy guy. I have a lot of things to get done. And so I'm always looking, hey, I've got 5 minutes. What can I plug in right there? And my wife will tell you that's pretty much where we live, is I'm busy like a ping pong ball. And I tell you, Sabbath this last year has been revolutionary in our life, taking some time to specifically, intentionally stop all of our busyness and give that time to God. So I'm saying this transparently to say that there's work for me to do in this area, but how do we find those lies? Will you stop in the moment when you are getting ready to do something you know you shouldn't do? And maybe it's not obviously wrong, but maybe it is a point of fear. Why am I afraid right now? Where is this coming from? Instead of rolling with it and feeding that fear, stop and look at it straight on. What am I afraid of in this moment right now? And that is your beginning step to exposing the schemes of Satan, that he, the buttons in your life that he pushes to trigger you every day. He's like, watch this. Bonk. He hits the button. There he goes. Spin it off again. Right? He does that to us every day. He pushes our buttons. So we have to stop and look, what's the button that he just pushed? I need to disable that with the truth of God's word. So as we go throughout this year, we're going to continually ask ourselves these things. Where am I? As God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? I need to ask myself. I need to be true with myself, honest with myself. Where am I? I would like to have a better view of myself, and maybe I'm doing okay, but maybe I'm not. Maybe there's some areas when if I'm truly honest with myself, I need some work. I know I do. Where am I really right now? Where is Satan winning in my life, in my family, in our church? Where is Satan winning? Where is he running that same play over and over? I've watched this and I've seen it, and there's a pattern to it, and that's what we're addressing this year. We want to break that cycle of Satan winning in our lives. What lies have I believed? Stop in the moment when you're fearful and afraid and isolated and think, how did I get here? So this last little line, look at the negative consequences in my life and then walk them back to the lies that I believe that got me here. That is my advice to you for this entire year. The rest of our lives, really, that's good advice. But this is our focus this year, community of truth. Look at the negative circumstances in my life right now. And this might not be a cookie cutter clean fit for every situation in your life, but I'm betting it's going to hit a lot of them. And then you walk that back. So I'm isolated. I'm fearful. Maybe there's some sin there. What did I believe that was wrong that led me down this path to where I find myself naked and afraid? That is our community of truth message this year. Look at the negative consequences in my life and walk them back to the lies I believe that got me here. So that's where we're going to take off this year. Next week, Jack's talking about scripture memory. And then Phil and Jack are going to alternate through some of these topics. I'm going to keep coming back to this. We have a number of sermon series planned for this year. We're going to do a study through the epistles of John, which is squarely in this arena of deception and lies and truth and how that plays out in our lives with God's love. And we want to call out Satan. We want to stop being worn out by the enemy and take it back to him. Because Jesus told Peter that you're on this rock, I'm going to found the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we always say that gates are not an offensive thing. They're a defensive thing. And so we need to go on the offense and stop let Satan run over us. We need to respond with the truth. Plant the truth of God deep in our heart, and when he comes, we simply respond with that truth and say, no, thank you. And that's where we are headed together this year as a community of truth. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have made it clear in your word that you love us, that we can trust you, that you provide everything we need. And Satan would have us not believe that. You also made it clear that it's not good for us to be alone. These are plain truths in your word. And Satan wants to flip every single one of them. He wants to interrupt our relationship with you. He doesn't want us to be able to trust you. He wants us to question what you've told us to do in our lives. For our good, you have guided us and led us. If we would follow and listen and obey, we would enjoy your love and provision and truth and freedom in our lives. And God, that's what we want to see this year. We ask that you would help us, give us the courage, give us the awareness, Lord, to see what are the lies that we have believed, Lord, that got us to where we are. God, I pray that by this time next year, Lord, that we would see deeply transformed lives, people genuinely set free from bondage they've been in for their entire lives. Because somewhere along the way, the relationship was broken. And we've extrapolated from that pattern that every relationship in my life is now going to be broken, because that's what Satan wants me to think. And then I struggle when I try to have a wholesome relationship because of that broken pattern in my past. God, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see your truth, to respond with your truth, and to recognize those lies when they come to us, God. Make us super sensitive to this. You said that you would send the Helper, your Holy Spirit, who would guide us into all the truth. And so, God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to fill each one of us daily, that we would be eyes wide open to the schemes of Satan this year, that we would no longer be taken advantage of, but that we would be able to bring your truth, not only for freedom in our own lives, but for the members of our family, our extended family, our co-workers, our fellow students, Lord, our community, our neighbors, that we would be your salt and light, truly free, and that when people see that freedom and they're bound in fear, they recognize there's something different there, and they want it. God, help us to be beacons of hope in this society where so much hope has been lost. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, Paul has some announcements for us online.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. As I am doing these announcements, please be aware that if you need to contact the elders, or if you know of anyone who has needs, or you have prayer needs, please look at the website I'm looking at right now, which is newsong.family/live. I've been reading a really good book the last couple of weeks called Live Not by Lies. Our first announcement is about a Friday, March 5th at 7:30 p.m. Voice of the Martyrs is hosting a virtual event, In Prison for Christ, featuring three men who were imprisoned for the gospel in Sudan, Turkey, and Iran. The book I'm reading, second half of the book, is all about people who suffered persecution under communism and their advice to us. And one of the people here mentioned in the announcement, Richard Wurmbrand, is quoted a few times in the book. While sharing God's love in three different restricted nations dominated by Islam, each was arrested, interrogated, and imprisoned. While all three struggled to find God's purpose in their suffering, they ultimately recognized his faithfulness and love amid desperate circumstances. Join us for this special event and learn how you can get involved in helping our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Registration is free. And once again, the link is on the website I just mentioned, newsong.family/live. A new teen small group will meet at the Girth Home tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. The phone number is listed on the website if you need to contact Phil for more information. We are talking about being connected today during the sermon. One great way to stay connected during COVID isolation is prayer. Please let us know how we can pray for you. Email prayer@newsong.family. Also on the website, don't forget that service recordings are available. And you can give as well through the site. There are links on the site at newsong.family/live. All right, I'm going to turn it back over for prayer.
Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the message we've heard today. Lord, thank you that even though we have an enemy, that we have a mighty God, and that you have given us a new life and new weapons and everything necessary to overcome the evil one. And we pray that we could be skilled at using that and to be the community of truth that you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're dismissed.
Yeah, you're dismissed.